I want you to take a trip back in time with me today. Back to the New Testament church. Back to a time when Christianity was not a separate religion from Judaism, but was part of Judaism, was a denomination of Judaism, a sect of Judaism, a time when it was simply one of many ways of being Jewish. Yes, indeed, there was a time when to be a Christian meant you were a Jew who followed a Messiah, a very Jewish idea. That was the context in which this entire event happened, in which Peter is called by God to speak the gospel to Gentiles. Here he is in Joppa. Apparently he had gotten his hands on some really good drugs because he had this fascinating vision. This picnic blanket comes down out of heaven. And on it is all of this kind of food that good Jews simply don't eat. You don't eat a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich if you're a good Jew. You don't eat pork chops. You don't eat ham or bacon and eggs. You don't eat steak, medium rare. You don't eat a cheeseburger. You don't eat shrimp. Either cocktail or fried popcorn shrimp from Red Lobster, or lobster, or fried catfish, or snake. I understand it tastes like chicken. Or frog legs, which tastes like chicken too. You just don't eat unclean food. You just don't do it. That's one of the characteristics, that's one of the cultural norms of being a Jew, is following the dietary regulations as articulated by Moses in the Old Testament. That was one of those factors that separated off the chosen people from everybody else. And so it was a scandal to Peter. And his response is, no, nothing profane has passed these lips. Yeah, right, Peter. No, I've never eaten anything like this ever. God, it's impossible. The word he uses is an ultimate phrase. Me damos. Impossible, Lord. And Peter hasn't changed much. I mean, this is post-resurrection, but Peter hasn't changed much. He denied Jesus 3 times. He said he swore he wouldn't do it. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he did. Here he denies God 3 times. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Kill and eat. Nope, sorry, not going to do it. Kill and eat. Nope, sorry, not going to do it. Kill and eat. Nope, sorry, not going to do it. God's response echoes loud. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made clean, you must not call dirty. What God has made clean, you must not proclaim it unclean. I wish the church universal, the church Protestant, the church United Methodist, the Church North Texas, even the Church St. Stephen could learn this. You must not call unclean that which God calls clean. And yet the church has majored in calling unclean those for whom Jesus died. This is not about food. Although you may be looking at your watch and hearing that tummy down there grumble and wondering, can we beat the Baptists over to Razoo's? I'm sorry, my friends. This is not about food. It's about people. It's about people. Beautiful children of God, whom God has called clean. And in the New Testament church, they struggled with this idea. You had to be a Jew to be a Christian. Later Paul, but here Peter, is experiencing the truth that in fact The calling to follow God is a calling that everybody receives, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what they eat, regardless of where they live, regardless of who they love. All are called to follow God. All are called to hear the gospel. All are called to receive the Holy Spirit. All are called and welcomed into the family of God. This is what is being proclaimed here. Don't call profane that which God has called clean. And yet the church, just like the New Testament church, then, so also today, things don't change, friends. The church calls unclean children, people, human beings for whom Christ died. Oh, my sisters and brothers, when are we going to learn? I was coming back from a meeting in Wichita Falls a couple of weeks ago. That's a long drive. And on the way back, I was falling asleep, so I started, you know, going through the channels looking for something, and I realized if I went to one of those religious stations, I'd hear somebody preaching, and that would get my blood, you know, just boiling. And so I went through, and I found a sermon. Found some guy, Baptist, preaching. And he was preaching against dancing and makeup and drinking and smoking, and I got to wondering, why is it that the only friends you meet who won't recognize you in the liquor store are your Baptist friends? I mean, come on. I was getting frustrated as I was listening to this guy preach, and then he hit the big one. Them gays and lesbians. Heaven help you. You could be a murderer, but don't be gay. You can be the worst liar and sinner in the universe, and I'm not looking at you for a specific reason why that. Just don't be a gay or a lesbian. Because you can't come to God until you change. And I wanted to drive off the road. I was so angry. Don't call profane that which God has called clean. Yes, I believe in a God who can change us. Yes, I believe in a God who changes lives, who opens closed hearts and closed minds and closed eyes. I believe in a God who can transform broken and hurting lives. I believe in a God who can transform one from sin to righteousness. Yes, I believe that God changes us. But it's God who changes us, not us, and certainly not some loud condemnation bellowing machine preaching somewhere. But God who does the changing. God who does the transforming. God who decides who is clean and unclean. And God said, do not call profane, unclean, dirty, filthy, that which I have called clean. That was said of Gentiles, my sisters and brothers. That was said of people who were considered outside the camp. We say it of all sorts of people today. We say it, the biggest one right now is of illegal aliens, and I don't mean Vulcans and ET without passports. People whose only sin is being born outside the United States and coming in without papers. That's called administrative. That can be fixed easy. We beat on all sorts of people and call them outsiders and call them unclean. When in truth, Christ Jesus died for us all. We are all children of God. God has called all of us to a life of transforming grace. A life of being means of grace for others. Unfortunately, so often we are led by the corporate sin of our culture and church to engage in the hindering of God's grace. Impossible, God, was Peter's mantra. So often it is our mantra too. I pray we will hear the following someday from the church. We heard it here in the New Testament reading. We heard it from the New Testament church, and I kept on bouncing back and forth from this. I wish they could have stuck here. In verse 17, it says, "If then God gave them the same spirit that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" God has called all and poured out God's grace upon so many whom the church would reject. We are called to welcome them into the family of faith, not calling profane that which God has called clean, but instead recognizing that the same one who gives us the Holy Spirit, who gives us grace, who pours out divine life into us, because that's what salvation is, the one who pours out divine life into us, the real presence of Jesus, pours that same life into all who seek, all who are called, all who exercise faith, all who want to come. As you come to the table of the Lord and you receive the divine grace of the real presence of Jesus, yet again, by faith, recognize God has proclaimed all of the children of God, all of our sisters and brothers, clean. We are called to welcome all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.